A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Listen to The Fan at home and get the exclusive call of Braves baseball all on your smart speaker. Just enable the 680 skill and stream all your favorite shows, podcasts, and every pitch of the Braves season on WCNN North Atlanta, a Dickey Broadcasting station. The Fan.
Na, 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 it's Chuck and Chernoff. Na, 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 it's Chuck and Chernoff. 3 o'clock on the dot, you know what that means. It's time for Matt, Lana, and the King. Na, 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 it's Chuck and Chernoff. Na, 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 it's Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Driving home, Atlanta is a traffic jam. But you got Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Na, 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 it's Chuck and Chernoff. Na, 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 it's Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan.
We wish you all a happy NFL Draft Eve. Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio and on a mobile app. We're on FM, kind of, at 93.7, sort of on AM at 680, but app and worldwide. Download that 680 The Fan app. Tap it today. Our 3 o'clock hour is here, and it's presented by This Stuff Matters, helping you make the most out of what matters most. Like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast at thisstuffmatters.net. Let's start the 3 o'clock hour by saying hello to Chuck Oliver.
Hey, Matt.
Hi, Chuck.
You know what I did for the first time ever this weekend?
I can't wait to hear.
Follow at Marissa Tomei on Twitter.
How'd that work?
Wowzers.
She follow you back?
I Twittered that.
I bet you did. As I said, it is NFL Draft Eve, so we'll get to the football in a moment, including Terry Fontenot, TF. Address the media, and we'll let you know what he had to say. But we start by recapping the maximum, Max Fried's beautiful complete game shutout last night as the Braves beat the Marlins again. 5-0 this time. They improved to an NL best, 16-6. The Guardians somehow are 17-6.
They won again.
Yeah. I was kidding yesterday when I said to Domino and to Chuck, all Max has to do is top Bryce's 6 2/3 of scoreless, and apparently took it seriously because he did him one better. The complete game, 92-pitch, ultra-efficient effort that took 1 hour and 53 minutes. I looked at my watch in the ninth inning and went, it's like 9:10 right now. I could not believe it that game started at 7:20 and we were about to finish. You know what that's referred to as, right?
I talked about that last week, actually, with the Tanner Houck getting his first career shutout, and he had to throw a Maddox, or else he wouldn't have been allowed to stay in the game past 100 pitches.
He had to throw a what?
A Maddox.
Okay, so you know what it's called. I know what it's called. The media asked Snit last night about Max throwing a Maddox, and here's what he said.
I didn't understand anything you just said.
Oh, this is his third Maddox. How special has it been?
Third, what he said?
Oh, just like
under 100 pitches.
Under 100 pitches. Oh. Shutout under 100 pitches.
Oh.
How special has it been to see these three shutouts he's had in his career?
Yes, I didn't know what you meant by that.
I want to thank Wiley Ballard. You heard the wheelhouse in the middle there trying to help. It's kind of like, so my mother-in-law can't hear very well, so my kids will say something to her of like, hey, we're going to get Chipotle for dinner. And she says, what? And I say, Chipotle! And to Snit last night, a Maddux is under 100 pitches, both under 2 hours.
You've been employed by the Braves since 1977. I'll tell you about baseball now.
Look at Wiley. Look at the wheelhouse.
Boom.
Cleaning it up right there. So, yes, it was a Maddux-esque.
I wonder if I would have known that, because, like I said, referred to it last week. Tanner Houck was told, he's like, no, 100 pitches, you're out, no matter what, 100 pitches. And he threw in Maddux in 94. I wonder if we didn't live in Atlanta, would we know that?
I don't know, but we do live in Atlanta, so does Snit.
He worked for the same company, yeah, too.
The line just looks beautiful. 9 innings, 3 hits, no runs, no walks.
Faced 29 batters, 2 over the minimum.
Yep, 6 Ks, 17 groundouts. Again, vintage Max. It was great to see.
He's playing with a real lineup, the full, real 8 in the field lineup.
Let me read you a note from CJ Nikowski, part of the Braves TV broadcast, and this is wonderful. Now that the Braves have thrown back-to-back shutouts in the first 2 games of the series, he referenced the last time the Braves did it, but did it with also 0 walks in those 2 games, which is what's happened the last 2 nights. The last time it happened was 1998 when Greg Maddux did it and Kevin Millwood followed. They threw complete games against the Pirates. The time it happened before that was 91 years ago, so it tells you how rare it is. CJ points out if the Braves pull it off again tonight, they will be just the second team to throw 3 consecutive shutouts with 0 walks in the history of the game. The Dodgers did it in 1988 with Oral Hershiser and Tim Belcher throwing complete games against Houston, and then a combo of John Tudor and Alejandro Pena, who did it against the Reds, which is just hilarious. Meanwhile, the Reds are the only offense who have ever had it done to them, and it was in 1989 when Pete Rose was the manager.
I bet the under.
I think he did. Offensively, the Braves didn't have to do much, but it's the typical Braves night. At least one home run. We'll get to 5 or 6 runs. We'll do enough, and we'll get a lot of contributions up and down the lineup, and we did not kibosh.
No,
the good run of Travis d'Arnaud.
Nope. Adam Duvall, boy, he whacked one.
Travis d'Arnaud last night almost hit another home run. 2 for 3, a double, a rib. Adam Duvall, 2 for 4, the long ball and 2 ribs. And Michael Harris, 2 for 4, a double and an RBI. Braves, remember, they're 16-6. No Sean Murphy, no Ozzie Albies, no Spencer Strider. You're looking at the worst slump of Matt Olson's career. Austin Riley's not much better. And they're doing this.
And their best, most consistent starter hadn't pitched in this series yet, and the fish hadn't scored.
Oh, Raylo goes tonight.
Hell yes, he does.
Yeah, Ronaldo Lopez takes his 0.5 ERA into action tonight. 2-0, you'll get the game here on the Fan at 720. Lopez against Sixto Sanchez. All right, we have made it to the eve of the draft. We will be live at Harris Cherokee tomorrow, inside the Caesars Sportsbook, doing the afternoon show at 2 o'clock. Be with you till 6. Dinner break. We'll ring the dinner bell. Then you'll get the Heath Bar, Heath
Mocha,
Klein.
Mocha, chocolate.
That's right. And Steve West, the legend, 6 to 8. And then we'll be back at 8 to carry you from the Bears pick all the way through wherever the Falcons pick. Now, if they do trade back, that means we have to stay on longer. I hadn't thought of that until yesterday. So there are all these rumors involving the Falcons and trade backs. It would be good for them if they picked up more draft capital. Bad for me. I have craps to play.
Okay, yeah, here's a prop bet for you. Over, under, Chuck's present on the show, 8.5. Bet the under, by the way, on that one.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. So you're heading out?
I'm there till 8.
You're there till 8?
Till pick number 8.
What if they trade to 12?
I'm there till pick number 8.
This guy. This, folks, is what I work with. This guy. All right. Los and I will do the heavy lifting.
Whoa.
It'll be like Snowpocalypse.
What kind of profile does an Arthur Blank-owned Falcon team have of trading back?
Oh, they don't. But I'm just giving you a for instance, if they do, we have to carry the mail.
Ain't going
to
happen.
Got to carry the groceries.
Not happening.
All right. You need to calm down. What is going on? Did you eat lunch?
I have a question.
Did you eat
lunch?
I didn't actually. I knew it. Colin, Brian, get him some effing food.
All right, sandwich, Savi, what do you think?
Get him something now.
Ooh,
you can hear the hanger.
Grilled pimento cheese with
good
bacon.
And just,
like, if you tell him it's for Chuck, don't know to extra grill.
Put him in an IV and just inject it into his arm. All right, I want to play some audio. Terry Fondo, you know him as TF. General manager of the Falcons addressed the media yesterday, and he said a lot of nonsense in the middle of, like, you know, draft week. You're not going to say much. For instance, he was asked about the interest he's receiving from teams early, before the draft begins, of teams who do want to trade up to 8.
So we're having all those calls at this point, and so we really know the teams that have some real interest. And sometimes there are surprises on the clock, but
Now, all the rumors that are out there that the Falcons, the Chargers, there was one more in there. Bears could all be looking to move down and could be in play if somebody wants to make a move. So that could be part of tomorrow night's storyline. Terry Fontenot, of course, was asked about the Falcons' best player available philosophy, and he wanted to make one thing very clear. The best player available is specific to the Falcons.
When we talk about best player available, it's really it's best player available for us, right? Because I think sometimes when people hear best player available, they're looking at some of the experts' list, right? When you talk about best player available, really you're talking about best player available for us, and the key is not reaching for needs.
So my fear on that one is I don't trust their scouting ability. I don't. And that's not to take a shot. I know they put a lot of work into it. They have a lot of people who bust their tail and work 12-hour days for months and months and months. But I don't trust their best player available analysis versus other teams, or else I wouldn't be staring at Kyle Pitts when Penei Sewell went three picks later.
Yeah, and you needed guards, by the way.
Or a tackle. You could have gone either way if you wanted.
Or pass rush.
And then Micah Parsons, who went a full eight picks later. So the Falcons weren't alone with how they scouted Micah. They missed on that.
Yeah, but if you projected that your best player was Kyle Pitts, and like I said, I kind of got it, but...
Well, there's no doubting the talent, but it was a luxury item.
And at 4, 8, and 8, and I've said this before... Yeah, you kind of got it right. I mean, when you get 1,000 yards from a tight end as a rookie and it's the only second guy ever, okay, you kind of got it right. And he just had – we realize now that was just competent, good enough quarterback play, but it was pro quarterback play, and you saw, all right, Kyle Pitts. Point is, at 4, 8, and 8, you're paying retail, man.
Well,
if you look at the three things that Terry has gotten most right in the draft, paid retail for him.
But you say most right. I don't know that many people would take right now Drake London over Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave. And I like Drake, but I think if you were evaluating them, I think people would say I'd take Garrett. Garrett's a stud. And I think most people would say Chris Olave.
So
you
agree
say
agree with that
right.
As well, but
he left better players, I think, on the board after him.
At the same position. But for who they got for that pick, it wasn't a bust. It wasn't a bad pick. Like, they evaluated that Drake London was worth the 8th overall pick, and they were probably right.
Drake is good. He's not special.
He's also not what he's going to be. He's only 2 years into his career.
I think with competent quarterback play, yes, it gets better. I just don't see him being a game changer. Oh, my God, the defense has to always know where Drake is.
This is just an
example.
And
I like Drake. This comes from somebody who likes – I like Drake. He's good.
It's just one, but you have brought up before Roddy White.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put him there. That's
– No.
But just the time it takes.
Yes.
See, the difference
takes
to
a
me
– Roddy had drops.
He did. I think Roddy has physical gifts. Like, Drake can outjump you. I think Roddy was so damn physical. On top of being able to run away from you. See, I don't think London can run away from you.
No, he can't.
Like, Roddy could run away and he could bust you
at
the line of scrimmage.
You're not, as a 23-year-old, you're not what you're going to be as a 25, 26, 27-year-old.
One more from Fontenot. He was asked, and I should mention, just for the whole sake of the best player available thing, I like Bijan. We all like Bijan. Jalen Carter's a better player. And it was a position that is a, whatever, I don't want to go back into it. Here's Fontenot on... His team today, as currently constructed, would he be confident in them going to have to play a game this week?
We feel like we could play now. We'd be excited to go play a game right now, regardless of where our team is. We do. We have a lot of confidence. It's not just about what you signed in free agency or the players you drafted high, but there's other players that could have been on our practice squad or could have not played as much last year that are really showing growth, because that's what it's all about.
All right, one of two things. Either he's delusional or he's saying the thing you think you have to say. He doesn't have real starting edges. He doesn't have a corner opposite of AJ. He needs an upgrade over average Richie Grant at safety. They need another wide receiver. They need to add to the offensive line depth. Like, I'm sorry, today, that's a bottom 10 defense. I don't know if anybody would disagree with that. Talent-wise, this is a bottom 10 defense today. So maybe he's just saying the thing you're supposed to say. There's no way he believes that.
Like, Landman's a good enough NFL player. Here's the difference. You need ballers to win in the league. Like, he's a good enough NFL player that you can look at and go, he's kind of tough and he's kind of good and he's kind of good enough. You need effing ballers, and Raheem knows that. He's been in the league too long. He does.
But to hear Terry say that, though, I don't know what Raheem thinks, but to hear Terry say, hey, we go play today. No, you couldn't. Again, I don't want to live this life. We lived it with Matt Ryan too many years where we're like, oh, why aren't you winning games? Because you're losing 31-28. And that – Kirk – here's the one misnomer about Kirk. Kirk's not good enough to overcome all that stuff. Kirk's good. He'll put up individual numbers. He's not good enough to cover up stuff.
I bet you if Arthur Smith had a $100 million guarantee that he was going to be the coach in 2024, he would have taken a defensive player last year, but Bijan was the scratch-off ticket. He's like, if we get this right enough, he could be the guy that changes the offense, and it was a last-ditch effort. That's the kind of personnel decisions you get by from somebody on his way out the door.
Get ready for Chuck and Chernoff's Worst Idea.
All right, we'll take your answers today at the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. We told you Katy Perry leaving American Idol after seven seasons, walking away from a $25 million annual salary. What a life. So who should replace Katy Perry? Wrong answers only. Who should replace Katy Perry? Wrong answers only. This has to be one of two choices. This feels like an Ashley Simpson's kind of a role. Ashley, who has a... Oh, wait, no, she lip-sync. No, Ashley Simpson. Or if you really want to bring down some of the happy-go-lucky Lionel Richie and Luke Bryan, you bring in Fiona Apple. She kind of offsets it with her life kind of sucks thing. That's a thing.
Okay, so this is a singing competition, right?
Still is.
So wrong answers only if you can't sing. And you might be a little racist. How about Roseanne Barr?
All right. She's available.
She's not booked.
If the phone rings, she's going to answer. DT, what you got?
Well, as you mentioned, we want great vocalists, so I'm going to go with Fergie.
I love Fergie.
Feel like she'd be great.
So you say wrong answer, I would tune in more to watch Fergie. That would be the thing that would get me. Brian Gephardt, producer?
It's got to be the Castellos.
Hey, y'all, we're the Castellos.
The Castellos would get me to watch, too. That's another good one. I said wrong answers, Colin Madden.
Tupac.
Here, he's running the board, so I couldn't cut the music, but hey, I would
have. You do know with AI we could do that.
And is he really dead?
That's a fair question. You guys will send your answers to the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Who replaces Katy Perry? Wrong answers only.
Yes!
Hadley Engelhardt's a right answer.
I've set up a weekly interview with one of my good friends, Hadley Engelhardt.
It's a big get for you. I'm curious, do sports agents sleep better than the athlete? Like, I know a lot of guys tonight who are going to be drafted are not sleeping well. What about the agent? We'll find out with Hadley when he joins us coming up. Coming up next, if this mock turns out to be right, then everything one national voice said about the Falcons is 100% true.
You don't care about winning games in Atlanta. You don't.
If this is true.
You don't care about winning a football games.
She might be right. We will not play in Joy's face next.
Stop it
right now.
Chuck and Chernoff are on the Fan. Thanks for spending your Wednesday right here. It is draft eve. We'll be live at Harrah's Cherokee tomorrow for our special live draft spectacular. We'll do the afternoon experience, take a little din-din break, and then come back from when the Bears are on the clock till the Falcons. You'll get it on the Fan on FM at 93.7, AM at 680, and of course, on the 680 The Fan mobile app. The 3 o'clock hour of our show is presented by This Stuff Matters, helping you make the most out of what matters most. Like and subscribe. To This Stuff Matters, the podcast.
Like and subscribe.
At thisstuffmatters.net. Our agent to the stars, Hadley Engelhardt, will tell us, what is draft eve like for the agent? How nerve-wracking of an experience when you have guys who are sitting ready to go in the draft. We'll pick his brain about that and more coming up. But first, I don't want to believe these mocks, and in fact, I don't. But they're still out there, Charles, and they're not going away. I saw two or three mocks yesterday that still had a wide receiver going number 8 to the Falcons. One had Malik Nabers, one had Roma Dunze, and they're just, these are updated last couple of days mock drafts. Now, if that happens, I will consider following Chuck's lead and abandoning my team. It'll hurt.
Don't play in my face.
But I might have to do it.
I'm abandoning. You wake up one morning, your heart's different.
You abandon. That's fine. It's okay.
No, and grilled onions. I can't have grilled onions anymore.
The point is you quit them, and that's fine. I understand it. So I don't think that's going to happen, but I thought I'd relay that one. I did see a mock last night that would be the funniest and most chaotic thing that could ever happen to the Falcons in the draft.
What that?
So before I give it to you, I want you to guess, what would draw the biggest reaction, some positive, some incredibly negative, if the commissioner read this name at number 8?
The Falcons stay at 8 and make a selection there? J.J. McCarthy, probably.
Bigger.
Oh, Brock Bowers?
Boom.
Stop it!
You can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
Come on.
Can you guys imagine? They took a Georgia player, but if they took Brock Bowers...
And I got it. You're playing in Joy's face.
I might storm the castle. And the Flowery Branch isn't close. That is not going to happen. These mocks are not going to be close to right. But the fact that somebody the week of the draft was like, well, the Falcons picked the best player available, and Brock might be a top 5 player talent-wise in the draft, and he'll be at the top of their board. And this is where there will be some lying done by teams, and the Falcons too. Like, there is a good chance if the Falcons take Dallas Turner or take Latu out of UCLA, on their board, Brock is going to be ranked higher. Like, they're going to have Brock or Malik Nabers if he happened to be there, which I don't think he will. But for instance, they would be higher on most boards.
Some of them have to be there.
Sure. But my point is they're going to tell you we took the top player off our board. Probably not. Because if they did, then they would take Brock and we would all lose our minds in a way that you thought losing your mind over Kyle Pitts was something.
Yep.
Or taking Bijan over Jalen. Can you imagine, as much as everybody loves Brock, if they did that again, holy cow. J.J. McCarthy would lead to some anger. This would lead to something I can't even imagine.
Because
and I'm here for all of it.
The quarterback's the position you don't imagine that they will have to mine in the draft, certainly not with 8th overall, and other teams are. It means that there's a backlog of a left tackle, a pass rusher, a defensive tackle, the number one corner. All of this is going to be there for them. So that's a good scenario. This whole conversation, whether you like the pick or not, it's all a good scenario for the Falcons.
It should be. You say
they could break Anvil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, believe me, I understand what this team is.
I don't know. And again, I've said this over and over. I would never define myself to you publicly when you asked, what are you? We have our own philosophies. This is the Bill Belichick of I'm not telling you, because you have people like me, snarky people like me, who every time this comes around and we do the best player available thing, I throw it in your face that you took Kyle Pitts over Penei Sewell, or you took Kyle Pitts over Micah Parsons. And even if the comeback is, well, Matt Seven, other teams passed on Parsons, not my problem. You're supposed to evaluate better. So snarky me will do that to you because you defined yourself as best player available.
Don't play in my face.
And Joy's right.
You're playing in my face right now, and I don't appreciate it.
I tried to fight against it. She's right. They don't care about winning a football game.
Stop it now.
No, they do. They care. They just don't know how to get it right.
Yeah, they hadn't executed it properly. If you add an offensive piece, a weapon, a shiny, sparkly something, I mean, damnation. It's not a mobile. You don't have to, like, fill the thing up over the crib. You can get a pass rusher. You can get a corner. Take a corner, which I don't think is worth the 8th overall pick, because if you take a guy in the top 8 at corner, it better be Darrell Revis. Mm-hmm. I don't think that guy's in the draft. Hell, you need a starter. And you need a guy who's not AJ.
But I would
not
also
a beat-you-up-at-the-line-of-scrimmage guy. You need somebody who can pick off a pass.
Let's say it was Terrion Arnold or Quinyon Mitchell. Just say. I feel bad for that rook. He's coming into play behind what looks like one of the weakest defensive fronts in the league. Now, we all love Grady, but he's another year older off an injury. I thought Onyemata was outstanding last year, but he's another year older. And on the edges, if you had to play a game like Terry said today, I'm guessing it would look something like Zach Harrison or Lorenzo Carter on one side and
Ebiketie.
Arnold Ebiketie with D'Angelo Malone, who couldn't get on the field for years playing behind him. That's who you would say you're ready to go
Malone
play a football game.
And Ebiketie and Marlon Davidson, who's not even here. Like, there's a lot of blame. Like, guys who were supposed to have been better, or else you picked them too high.
Yeah. Good news for Braves fans. Adam Duvall left the building last night. So when Duvy went yard, you guys scored an instant round-tripper discount today only. This is the way it works, thanks to the great folks who get it done for us every single day at Tire Discounters. When the Braves go yard, you get an instant round-tripper discount on a set of Goodyear or Cooper tires the next day only at Tire Discounters. Plus, like, if that's not enough, you're going to get a free alignment and free oil change with your tire purchase. The more homers the Braves hit, the bigger the deals at Tire Discounters. Learn more at TireDiscounters.com/Braves.
Well, you had me from hello. He's an agent for the pros, and now he's on our show. Matt wanted some production. Here we go. It's you, Hadley from Hello.
So the timing couldn't be better to talk to Hadley Englehart, who's been a very long time, very well-to-do sports agent, representing a lot of big-time athletes. He knows what the eve of the draft feels like for the player and the agent. So we'll pick his brain about all kinds of draft topics as he joins us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. All right, Had, that's where I want to start with you today. Take me back to either the first time you had a prospect in the draft or even now. We know what the night before is like for the player. I'm sure it's nerves and you're up and down. What is it like for the agent? Do you get a full night's sleep?
You do. I mean, listen, it's, again, everyone just focuses on the first day of the draft, but the actual draft is 3 days and it's very long. The first day is the easiest. You know, when you have a first round draft choice, which I've had over a dozen, there are expectations and sometimes they're lofty expectations, but you know, no matter whether you're projected to go in the first round or projected to go in the seventh round, our job as agents is to, you know, put it all in perspective, to let the player and his family know that obviously no matter where you end up going, it's an opportunity. It's not where you start, it's where you finish. But there are nerves because everybody wants to be drafted higher. people want to be drafted to the right market. And so there's so many different variables that come into play. But either way, it's an exciting time. Nerve-wracking, but definitely exciting.
If y'all weren't paying attention, that was a flex.
I was over a dozen.
Yeah, over a dozen I've had. all right. So Detroit breaks off Penei Sewell early. Now, I'm going to say grab every dollar you can. Priest Holmes changed. When I saw him almost die when he landed on his head, I was like, all right, pay the players. But I also understand you got a lot of financial balls in the air if you're an NFL team. Why did they do this early instead of, quote, grinding it out and activating the fifth year and then bitching about it in August, and then he shows up and plays under the tag, but you get the season from him still? Instead, they were like, nope, he's one of the best in the league. Here's 4 years, $120 million.
Yeah, I think there's obviously not a straight-up answer for that because we don't know what's behind, in this case, Detroit Lions. But, I mean, obviously part of it with him, and obviously this did St. Brown's deal too at 4 years at $120 million with $77 million in guarantees. So they just did two players, and they still have to do their quarterback. So they may have more cap room. They may want to spread it out more. They may want to – so many different variables that come into the capologist and figuring out it's expensive today, but in theory, their per-year average and the amount of money over the first couple of years may be less because of doing it early. So, you know, more teams – you see the Braves doing it, in fact, in baseball, way early, way premature than they have to do certain deals. But it's to go ahead and show the loyalty, show what they're trying to build – and it also helps out the team's cap and cash spending in a market like Detroit. And so I think there's so many of these variables, and I think it's smart for teams to do this.
I also wonder if it's let's beat the market as it continues to get more expensive. Let's try to get in maybe before that part of it happens. Hadley, you said something when you were talking about it's not just the first round of the draft, it's 3 days. And for us, the draft is fun, and it's content, and it's a lot of opinions and hot takes. But for these kids, and you've had a personal relationship, we should not lose the sight. The next 3 days, these are life-changing events. Like, you have families who have driven these kids to camps and practice and stuff for 15 years. And some are going to get the call that very few in this world ever get. And you've seen these calls happen. So talk about the emotion and what you've seen. This is a payoff for a lot of kids and families that I don't think many of us can understand.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're exactly right, Matt. I mean, this is a life-changing, and, you know, even the guys that go in the latter part of the rounds, they can make upwards of north of $1 million this year. So, you know, not too many guys graduating universities are making that kind of money in our world. So it is life-changing. And, you know, in fact, today we finished up our calls with clients, which you do every Wednesday before the draft, to discuss with our clients and their parents just, again, A, how the process works, expectations, and then, you know, obviously what this does. It gives you an opportunity to have a life-changing experience, life-changing financially. And again, we always preach, though, unless you're drafted in the top 15 of the first round, you're playing for that second contract, and that's where the life-changing money like Sewell, like St. Brown just received, you know, under this new salary cap. You know, the first round in the top 15 is life-changing. But after that, it's a lot of money. But at the same time, we focus on the expectations and get them ready for the, you know, about what's about to happen, not only making this kind of money, but, you know, there's a lot of positives, but also now you become a target in the world. And so you just got to be very careful about the things that happen next. And so we kind of walk them through all that and, put their expectations in focus.
Yeah. Hadley Engelhard, our agent to the stars with Chuck and Chernoff on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. So a couple of things I want from you here. Like, I'm serious about this. Is this a night where you want to, like, tuck the guy into bed, like, text him, make sure you're not going out tonight, you've gone this far, there's no need to take that chance? And then day of the draft, Had, were you ever one who didn't want your guy to have the ESPN cameras in his home or be in the green room in case he was the one that dropped? Did you have feelings on any of the experience around the draft?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we all, again, these phone calls we have on Wednesday, it's talking about, hey, are you good? Are you healthy? You know, make sure we lay low these next few days because you've worked too hard to get where you're at. Fortunately, I've been part of, you know, every ritual with the draft where I've been flown to the city. Back in the day, initially, was always in New York City. I've had ESPN cameras come to an event. In fact, the first one I ever was part of was in 1993 with George Teague in the first round at the old Frankies here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And so it was an exciting time. And I've also experienced it where guys have been in the green room where they're projected to go first or second round, and they fall into the second round, and you have to go to bed that night and then wake up the next day. So you deal with all these emotions. I believe, you know, if you get a sense that a player's not going to go where they feel, you try to keep the media away because you don't want to deal with that. But a lot of times players want to be part of the experience. And so you just embrace it and just, you know, again, educate them and put their expectations in perspective. So if things don't go according to plan, plan B is already in place and they're okay moving forward.
All right, so I'd heard when Troy Vincent was at Wisconsin that he was smarter than the average bear, and then he got degrees at Harvard and also Wharton, University of Pennsylvania. So, and then he went on to what he does. So that's true, but I also heard even Troy Vincent shouldn't have been his own agent because back in the day he had negotiated stuff on his own. Marvin Harrison's doing that. His dad's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, he's got as much insight into this as anybody. Comment on this, representing yourself if you're Marvin Harrison Jr. Is it it's all slotted where I'm going to go, so why do I need to pay somebody 4% or 8%?
Well, what's different today, Chuck, than it was when Troy Vincent was in is there was no rookie salary cap, and so it was true negotiations. And so to, you need to make sure you have the right people in place. I'm still a big believer that, you know, you need to have somebody represent you because all the other things that go on, you want to make sure that there's somebody speaking on your behalf. Contractually speaking, with a top five draft choice where Marvin Harrison Jr. is projected to go, there's not much an agent can do differently. It's going to be a slotted deal. He's going to get the maximum amount of money. He's going to get the maximum amount of signing bonus, and he's going to get a fully guaranteed contract. So there's little movement there. But, you know, to deal with it as a player, it's something I would put on the back burner, let someone else deal with it. But it's easier. I think Marvin is more the exception than the rule. Most of the players, you know, we had it with Lamar Jackson that he did it himself. When you get to the latter part, the end of the first round, there is some wiggle room and there is some language and there is some guarantees. And he actually didn't do a very good job. He shortchanged himself. Now he's made up for it, becoming a Pro Bowler and an elite quarterback, and obviously signed a blockbuster veteran deal. But, you know, had he done his initial rookie deal and it didn't work out and he was in the league only for a couple of years, it would have cost him some real money. So it's important to have somebody. I believe in it in anything you do. Marvin may be the exception. And again, he's going to be probably a top five pick. So I don't think there's much wiggle room that there was when Troy Vincent was in the league.
Hadley, have a great draft experience. When we talk next week, we'll talk about some of the money and the slotting and how it all works moving forward. Thank you, my friend.
You got it, guys.
There's Hadley Engelhardt, our agent to the stars, with Chuck and Chernoff on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. All right, coming up, fuzzy cleats are the capper to a Braves turnabout none of us could have ever predicted.
Are you capping?
No cap.
Cap or no cap.
Guess we'll have to find out next. We have made it to NFL Draft Eve. Chuck and Chernoff with you today, live in studio.
Hey, Chuck Oliver here.
And Matt Chernoff here. And you all there. And we'll be at Harris Cherokee tomorrow. Live in the Caesar Sportsbook, doing the show live 2 to 6. Then you'll get a pre-draft show from Heath Klein and Steve West. Then we're back at 8 with Los, Front Office Los, with Chuck and Chernoff, doing our live draft extravaganza. You're watching the show on TV. Just mute it. Turn us on. With the 680 The Fan mobile app, we will take you from pick one all the way through whenever the Falcons do pick, scheduled now at number 8. Big news that we told you about earlier in the week. Little Big Town is coming back. Celebrating 25 years, Little Big Town brings their Take Me Home tour to Atlanta with special guest Sugar Land and...
Hey, y'all, we're the Castellos.
The Castellos. Tickets are on sale right now, available at Ticketmaster.com. Make sure you grab them to see Little Big Town, special guest Sugarland, and...
Hey, y'all, we're the Castellos.
The Castellos. December 12th at Gas South Arena. Caller 8. I got a pair for you right now at 404-231-1680. It's just that easy. So fuzzy cleats are just the capper to the Braves turnabout, which Chuck says none of us could have predicted.
No, not really. If you can see over the weekend, Michael Harris, the two... he had fuzzy blooper cleats on.
They were awesome.
And they were. They really were. And they were really white from the toe heading up to about the laces. And then they got red on the side. And there was a blooper on the side of the cleat, and he was throwing money in the air. Just fantastic. And it had a fuzzy tongue going underneath the laces, and it just it's Michael Harris being Michael Harris.
Which, first time, by the way, the term fuzzy tongue made it to the show.
In so many years. Yeah. So Michael Harris being Michael Harris. If you haven't noticed, you know, the bat flip on a home run, that's become something now that, like, you track with lasers and you grade and all that. Michael Harris will bat flip on a single. Be able to rope into right center, and when nobody's looking, it's a flip that thing. Acuna doesn't touch home plate anymore. I was there Saturday night. He does the stanky leg in front of the catcher and says, oh, by the way, I just stole second and third in front of you, too. Ozzie, enthusiastically transparent with his in-game emotion. Strider, when he pitches, the same.
Did you catch Jared Kelenic trying to hit the gritty? One of the more painful things I've ever watched after a win the other night.
He gave it a shot, okay? When you include the regular fun factor of Michael Harris, this is not the team of Freddie Freeman and all corporate and too businesslike, et cetera. If you will recall, Freddie told Ronald Acuna, we don't do that here. I think Ronald, now looking back on it, I think Ronald was more stunned than anything because people said, Ronald got in line. Ronald stopped for a minute. I think Ronald was like shocked. He's like, wait a minute, is he being serious?
In the Players Tribune, we found out Ronald's mom told him to stop doing that stuff.
And Ronald decided, Mom, Freddie, I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to be who I am. And then Freddie Freeman was gone. And this team is now, I mean, a large part made up of, like, big-time, fun, emotional, wear-it-on-your-sleeve sort of guys, and this is the exact opposite of what we heard, I'm not kidding, folks, for about 30 years.
You know what the most fun one is still remains? The Marcel Hand dance at third. I don't know what it is. It was better with Wash, maybe, but even with Tuiasa Sopo, it still works. But every one of these things they do...
Have you seen Acuna crossing home plate? Yeah. It's a salsa dance.
Yeah, but everything they do is built for social media. And that's where baseball has to try to grab the young fan. Did you guys see the video of Rob Manfred getting screamed at, popped last night? Some guy literally in the suite next to him yells over, Manfred, nice job, make the MLB app, whatever it was. And then he called him a name, which I will not repeat on the radio. But what baseball needs to do is more of this. See, they need to lean into this as opposed to the old guard of, like, hit the home run, put your head down and run around the bases. You know what that doesn't do on social media? Doesn't get attention. It doesn't get pops. It doesn't get what baseball needs, and that's those star players giving the personality. I will shout out Chipper Jones today. It's his birthday. That's a different world. And Chipper even said, he's like, that's not me. That could have never been me. I couldn't have done that. I was the old school of hit the home run, run around the bases, go sit down. It's just a different world now. It doesn't mean everybody has to, but it's a part of the game that I think is great.
Miggy Cabrera hit a home run last year. He had a spear with pizza on it.
Good. Awesome.
Was it?
Social media.
Was it great. Good?
Well, how's it bad? See, if you're saying it's not good, how's it bad? Exactly.
If Chipper, they would have said, Chipper, you just hit 400. Here's a spear with some pizza on it.
How's it bad?
Because it's Little Caesars.
It's not good.
No, you say that it's not good. How is it bad? It's not. It's not a big deal. Like, folks, don't sweat the small stuff. Really, this is small stuff. Sweat traffic,
I'm glad,
sweat taxes, sweat real things, not this.
I'm glad there's not video of Reggie Jackson or Mike Schmidt goes yard and then has to put on, like, the judge's wig and the robe because they play in D.C.
Maybe they just didn't realize fun. Baseball can be fun. There was a point where baseball always had to be that, either the corporate or the way. No, it can be fun. Like, why did we have to keep it to just football and basketball? Why? This generation is like, I want to play like them. I want to have fun like them. I want to wear fuzzy cleats, and I want to be pushed around in a golf cart in the dugout after hitting a home run.
That is today's player.
Awesome.
I'm saying, like...
But you said it's not good.
Terry Pendleton?
Yeah.
Part of what I think of, and this is why I say it wouldn't be good. Part of what I think about Terry Pendleton, for instance, is hard-nosed, serious, in the game, and he's the foxhole guy, and it's hard to be foxhole guy when you got, like, a six-foot-tall gold trident.
Okay, but let me ask you this. When the Braves won the
that's just how I think of him.
Okay, the Braves won the division championship in 91. How did they celebrate?
I assume they did champagne.
They champagned in the clubhouse. They did the stuff on the field. There was a time before that the generation before went, what would it have looked like if the Mick, and what would it look like if Gehrig would have been doing what they're doing?
Well, Mickey would have been drinking.
It's all relative, Charles. No. Like, those guys, even as buttoned up as that group was, there's a piece of video of the Braves running down the clubhouse in the old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, acting like children the way they should have when they won the division championship. It's the generation, the changeover from one another. It's okay. I think it's great. Like I said, it's not a bad thing. It's fun for baseball.
Like I said, I think what the Braves are right now is fantastic because I think of Michael Harris and Ronald Acuna totally different than I think of, for instance, Terry Pendleton.
No. All right, coming up, one of the hottest or should we say coldest stars is back on the market. 'Cause you're hot and you're cold, yes, Yo, is that a hint? How about that? And one beer man is going to need some therapy, like some serious therapy. And we'll get all the tea spilled from Schwartzy on Sportsy. Hip Hop Mandy next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.